because you're done.
Very good. I have the sheets from last week, but I didn't make new copies this week, so I'm going to just try to remember the sheets that you looked at last week. Okay, so we're going to go through a couple of final inyanim with respect to the way the Gittin are performed and some of the halachic issues that are involved and some of the sugyas that are implicated. And then, God willing, next week will be the last session for this this year. And we're going to try to do prenuptial agreements. We'll talk about prenuptial agreements next week. And then we'll have a summer break. And the Mirz Hashem, we hope to resume next next year or after the summer, you know, when we have the beginning of the new Zman. So we touched upon this a little bit. We were speaking about giving a get ayyadei shliach. Normally, the way that works is that the husband appoints a shliach. He's in front of the scribe, and he's in front of the witnesses, and he's in front of the shliach, and he appoints the scribe to write the get, the witnesses to sign the get, the shliach to send the get, but to deliver the get to his wife. But let's say that the husband can't be there. So we mentioned that there are cases where a husband is in a very remote location, and he's not able to come into the Beis Din, and the Beis Din is not able to travel to him. He's very, very far away. And the question is, can he appoint a sofer and aid them long distance? Can he just write a document in which he says, I'm appointing so-and-so to write the get and the following aid them to sign the get? Or can he appoint the sofer and the aid them not in their presence? He just gets up in front of two witnesses, wherever he is. They don't know how to write a get. They don't know how to sign a get. But he gets up in front of two witnesses, even three people who could catch through the Beis Din in his location. Let's say he's out in Uruguay somewhere. He's out in some place where they don't have a sofer and aid him, but there are some observant people. And he gets up and he says, I'm up hereby appointing the following sofer to write the get and the following aid him to sign the get. Would that be good enough? So the sugyan, the Gemara talks about how a get has to be written directly by the husband or by the shliach who's appointed directly by the husband. And he has to say to the people directly, this is the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph. But if he said to some people, give a get to my wife, and then they told other people to go and write the get and to sign the get, then the get would be no good, because that's considered to be mili lo mimsrin l'shliach, that you can't have an appointment that was made to one group of people, an appointment with words alone. You can't have that delegated to other people. So it would seem that he has to actually be standing in front of the individuals themselves. So in fact, we go even further. Even if he would say to two people, he would say, go and appoint a sofer. He would tell them explicitly, I want you to appoint a sofer, and I want you to appoint two witnesses to sign the get. So I'm a puna marab, losas hezos b'Yisrael. You should not, this is not something which should ever be done. Even if it would technically be good, it shouldn't be done, because it could be that it's going to get messed up. The wrong people are going to write the get, and the wrong people are going to sign the get. That's called Omer Imru. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchos Gittin, Simen Kof Kof, Sif Dalet, says, even if the husband would say, he would tell two people to tell another person to be a sofer to write the get, and two witnesses to sign the get. They're not allowed to write it until or sign it unless they hear it directly from him. It would be a chisavan of lishma, or of it being coming directly from the husband. And if a get would be written in that fashion, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins, it would be suffik migureshes. But what if, instead of the husband saying to two witnesses, I want you to tell a certain scribe to write the get, and I want you to tell two witnesses to sign the get, the husband would just say in front of two witnesses, I am hereby appointing the scribe to write the get. I am hereby appointing those witnesses to sign the get. So the Chelkas Mechokek, in his commentary to Shulchan Aruch in Simen Kof Kof, says, even if he specifically designates the personalities and says, I'm hereby appointing them, that would be no good, because Loma Honey, because Ve'ena Sofer Ve'edim Mokom Abal, it has to be the Baal that's writing the get, Sok Shechtebenu Habal O Shlucho, they only can serve as the Shliach, Ha'elek HaShishamo Hemipiv, unless they actually hear the instruction directly from his mouth. But says the Chokas Mechokik, this is only the opinion of the Ramban. The Ramban holds that there has to be some sort of a tziruf, a direct tziruf between the husband and the sofa and the edim, and the tziruf doesn't occur if they're not in the same room with each other. However, he quotes the Ran and the Ra'ah. The Ran and the Ra'ah both disagree. Nechlekul Allah. B'savid lo pasav Rabbi Yosi lo be'ome imu midaitchem of the ploni. The azik alamechash lechorba. It's only when the husband says to the sofa and the edim, you go and appoint to the sofa and you go and appoint the witnesses. But if he was meman and sofa ve'edim shlo b'fneim mehoni, he appoints specifically the sofa and the edim. The husband appoints the sofa and the edim. It's just, they're not there, but he's saying to them that he's appointing them. These other individuals that he's saying the appointment in front of are just the edim that he made the appointment. So that's considered to be direct enough, and that would be good enough. However, the Chelkos Mechoke concludes that it could be that the Ran and the Ra'ah only said this the halacha below the Maiseh. That's a question as to whether this is something that, even according to them, could be relied upon halacha l'maaseh. So that's one question, whether a sof and an edim can be appointed not in their presence if it's a direct appointment. Then there's a separate question. What if the husband is going to appoint to a ksav? He's just going to write out on a piece of paper, I'm appointing the following sof and the following edim. So they have the ksav in front of their eyes. They can look at the ksav because it'll, even if they're not there, at the time that he signs this document that he's appointing them, it could be that the ksav will make its way to the sof and the edim. They'll see his signature and they'll see that he appointed them. Maybe that will create a sufficient tziruf. Maybe that will create a sufficient connection, even according to the opinion of the Ramban. In fact, the Ramban holds that way. The Ramban says that if the appointment would be made b'ksiva, if it would be made by actually writing out the appointment on a piece of paper by where the sof and the edim can see the signature of the baal, so that would be considered to be a direct appointment. This question revolves around the shesugya of an ishtatik. We know the Gemara about an ishtatik. It's the Gemara talks about a person who shows up to the Bezdin and he has a very bad case of laryngitis, maybe a permanent case of laryngitis. He's not able to speak. He's very intelligent. He can hear. He's not a cheresh. He's not an eno shemeir v'eno medaber. He just can't speak. He can't speak. He can't get the words out of his mouth. So the Mishnah has a very elaborate procedure where it says that such a person can authorize a get by just nodding his head. He said, you want to divorce your wife? He nods his head. And they ask various questions of him to make sure that he has das. They say, oh, is this a season in which you wear a heavy winter coat? And he goes, no. And he shakes his head, no. So you know that he's aware of what time of year it is. And so they ask him a few questions, but say again, some yes questions, some no questions. Because otherwise, if he just nods yes to everything, it could just be by accident that that's the way his head goes. His head just nods up and down, but he's not really paying attention to the questions that you're asking. So you're able to assess that he knows what he's talking about, so he can write again on that basis. So Rav Kahana says that you can also, and not only that, let's say you have an individual who's a cheresh, he's not able to speak and he's not able to hear. So he says, cheresh yachol adav mitoch haksav. If you have a cheresh though who is able to write, kosim enosten geli ishto. So he can write an appointment and that would be considered to be good enough. And I'm Rav Yosef, Maika Mashlan, Tanina Nishtatek. So Rav Yosef says that that's no big cheresh. We know that a person doesn't have to necessarily speak the words of appointment, just like in a shtatik, a person who's not capable of speech, he's able to just shake his head up and down, back and forth to indicate yes or no, and that would be a sufficient appointment of the sofer and the edim, as long as we check him out three times. So Rabbi Zeira says that that's not necessarily a proof, because there you're talking about an elam, somebody who's perfectly intelligent, he's just not able to speak. But a cheresh is considered to be a lower level of intelligence. So it's not obvious that the halakha would be like Rav Kahana, that a cheresh was a lower level of intelligence. He was a pikeach when he got married, so it's a full-fledged marriage, but now he has to give a full-fledged get. So it's not obvious that he would be able to give a full-fledged get in this fashion by just writing it out. And in fact, the Gemara on Daf Ayin Beis, Amud Aleph and Gittin, says a brisa that says so if you wrote a get properly and the edim signed it, nonetheless, the get is going to be put to batel if it was written without hearing the appointment of the sof and the edim from the baal directly. So why does it say they have to hear his actual voice? That comes to exclude the opinion of Rav Kahana, who said that a cheresh is allowed to divorce his wife by just writing out at the appointment of the sofer and the eidim. There was a case at the Beis Din of America many, many years ago, before I started working at the Beis Din of America, where there was a man who came in and he wasn't able to speak. He had a very bad case of laryngitis. So I found out about the case because the daughter of the couple that had come in had to get married, and she needed a copy of her parents' ksuva to show to the Masada Kiddushin. I think she was getting married in Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbanut wanted to see the ksuva, and they didn't have the ksuva because the ksuva had been left in the Beis Din files. When the couple came in for the get, the Beis Din always asks for the ksuva. So she said, "Oh, I understand from my parents that you have the ksuva, so can I have the ksuva?" And then we were giving her the ksuva. She said, "You know, you have the get file, but my parents never actually got divorced. They should have really asked for the ksuva back." I said, "You know, the parents never got divorced." So I said, what happened?" So she told the story. Apparently what happened was they came in for the get, and the Masada Kiddush, Masada Gittin, the Masada get at the Beis Din saw that the fellow couldn't speak, and he had never done a get of Nishtatek before. It's very confusing to do a get where you have to, the fellow is not able to speak, and you have to ask these questions. He nods his head or shakes his head, and you got to ask three different questions, you know, in different directions. And he was just scared that he wouldn't do it properly. So he decided that he would send them home. And when the fellow would be able to speak again, he would come back. And the fellow, since he couldn't speak, he couldn't scream back at his wife and so forth. So they were able to reconcile with each other. They never got divorced. But in the meantime, they forgot to take the ksuva back. So ksuva was sitting all of that time. So the question is, that when we say that we go against the shita of Rav Kahana, that we don't paskin like Rav Kahana, that writing is sufficient, is that only the case of a cheresh? Or does that mean even if a person was perfectly intelligent and he would write a written command for a sofer to write the get and for the eidim to sign the get, that would also be no good? So the Rosh in this Perek Zayin Simen Yutes of Maseches Gittin brings two different opinions. One opinion is that he says that only a cheresh can't do it because he doesn't have das, but a pikeach, just like a pikeach, can nod his head, so a pikeach can also write down on a piece of paper that he wants to appoint a sofer and eidim. And then he quotes afterwards, and maybe it's not so. He quotes another a dissenting opinion from Rabbeinu Tam, that there's a tosefta that indicates that even if you're dealing with a pikeach, unless the get is explicitly commanded by the husband, it would not be a good get. And why then is hachana okay? Why is the shaking of a head by somebody who can't speak, why is that good enough? So he says that's different because he's mare begufo, because he's indicating through his bodily motions that he's appointing the sofer and the eidim. But when a person's just writing with a pen, there's nothing in the motion of the pen that indicates that he's appointing a sofer and eidim. It's just that when you read the words, afterwards you could see that the husband meant to appoint the sofer and the eidim, but the motion of the writing of the pen is not an actual appointment to the sofer or the eidim. So therefore, that's worse. The Rambam's of the opinion that a pikeach, the Rambam seems to say that pikeach is perfectly fine, but the Rambam speaks specifically in the context of an ishtatek. The Rambam says, if you have an ishtatek, somebody who's not able to speak, so he can shake his head, nod his head that he wants to appoint a sofer and an eidim to write and to sign a get, and he can also write with his hands. So the question is, when the Rambam says that, does the Rambam mean only the case of an ishtatek, but maybe not the case of another pikeach? What would be the difference between a case of an ishtatek and somebody else? So the difference would be the ef shebinyan achir, that with an ishtatek, you could say that he's not able to speak. Since he's not able to speak, so we give him the option. He can either nod his head to appoint a sofer and an eidim, or he can write out the appointment of the sofer and the eidim. But if a person is able to speak, so then we don't give him that option. Then we would say that he's obligated to appoint a sofer and an eidim. Now the Ramban says explicitly, if you have a bari, it doesn't have to be an ishtatek, any bari, any pikeach, who appoints a sofer and an eidim to write and sign a get b'ksav, he writes it out, that would be 100% permissible, because he says that this is the only thing that gets a limit that we're eliminating when we reject Rav Kahana. We're rejecting the case of cheresh, but a person who is a pikeach, he doesn't have daita, he's not a daita shigishta, as he says. He's somebody who, we can trust his appointment, and if he writes it out, that would be perfectly okay. So we have three different options. We have the option that maybe when we reject Rav Kahana, that means that nobody can make an appointment of a sofer and eidim by just writing out the instruction. Or maybe it means that only a cheresh is eliminated, but everybody else would be okay. Or maybe it means no. A cheresh is eliminated, and a pikeach who has the ability to appoint, but through a verbal appointment, is also eliminated. But an ishtatik is not eliminated. An ishtatik would be able to make an appointment. There's a fourth option as well. Because if you look at the Tosefta, I'll take your question in just a moment. If you look at the Tosefta says, what is it that we're rejecting? A person wrote it with his hands that a sofer should write the get. And that certain edim should sign the get. Even though they signed and even though it was written and signed and given to him. Given to whom? I thought we were giving a get to the wife. Given to the husband, because he didn't appoint a shliach yet. It's given to him. And then he gave it to his wife. It's going to be puzzle until they hear the appointment directly from him. So it sounds from the Tosefta, what is the case that the Tosefta is saying really doesn't work? Maybe the case that doesn't work is when the husband was right there. He was right there, so we understand that that was a case where he really could have verbally appointed the sofer and the eidim. How do we know he's right there? Because after they wrote the get and signed the get, they handed it to him, and then he handed it to his wife. But if he's in Uruguay somewhere, if he's in a very far distant location, and it would not have been feasible for him to have made a verbal appointment because the sofer and the eidim were not there. His wife, let's say, is in New York. The sofer and the eidim are New York, or maybe the wife is also in Uruguay, but there's no sofer or eidim in Uruguay. So in such a case, maybe that's a fourth option, that an ishtatek would be okay because ef shebinyan acher, he can't make a verbal appointment. And maybe a pikeach would also be okay in those types of, for him to make an appointment in writing in those cases where he's just not able to appear in front of the sofer and the eidim because the sofer and the eidim are 5,000 or 10,000 miles away, whatever the case may be. So there were really four different options as to what the halacha might be. How do we paskin in Shulchan Aruch? So the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch is a little bit confusing. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Afilu kasa b'ksav yado l'safi shiktav leidim shi'aktamo lo yiktav lo yaktamo ad shishmo ben shu b'keach men shenishtatek." Says that we would not rely upon a written appointment, whether he is a pikeach or whether he is an ishtatik. In either case, we're not going to rely upon a verbal appointment. But then the Shulchan Aruch quotes a Yesh Omim. There is a second opinion that says that with an ishtatik, it would be okay. So it sounds from the Shulchan Aruch is following the opinion that says that we don't reject in all circumstances, but we don't allow any pikeach to perform a verbal appointment. It would have to be somebody who's an ishtatik. So you could perhaps elaborate upon that or extrapolate from it that maybe based on the last diuk that we made in the Tosefta, this would include not only an ishtatek, but even a pikeach gomor who's just very far away from any sofer or eidim. Maybe you can also make a written appointment. So the Piskei Tshuva quotes the Maharam Mibrisk with a very, very clever shita. If you look in, so he says that we have a machlokis. If you have a verbal appointment, which is made not in the presence of the sofer or the eidim, but the Ramban says it's no good, and the Ran says that that is good. And then you have a machlokis between the various Rishonim regarding if the appointment is made b'ksav, if it's made in writing, as opposed to verbally to appoint a particular sofer or a particular eidim. And who is it who says that this would be perfectly legitimate? Who's the one Rishon that we know says that this would be 100% legitimate? The Ramban. The Ramban says that this creates a sufficient seal, sufficient. Is to sign the get. We know that's going to be okay according to the Ran and the Ra'ah, but not okay according to the Ramban. And then have him also write to put in writing a written appointment of this sofer and those eidim, because that's going to work even according to the Ramban. Maybe you'll find in a Rishon that says that neither approach works, but at least this works according to more Rishonim. So he says that in a dire situation, you should be able to rely upon this. And as far as the Chelkas Mechokek, who had said that the Ran and the Ra'ah, when it came to the appointment, because the Ran himself quotes with respect to an appointment in writing that he quotes the Tosefta's is to say you shouldn't rely upon that. So if you're relying on the Ran, it's only based on there being an appointment that wasn't in the presence of the Sofer and the Yedim. The Chokas Mechokek said, he said that the Halach of Lo Lamaisa, so the Pesach Teshuva quotes the Yamshel Shlomo, the Maharshal, who says that Hidei Matzana Gedola Achronim, he paskin that you could rely upon the Ran and the Ra'ah, not only as a theoretical halakhic, theoretical lumdish discussion in the base matters, but even halakha lemaisa, you could rely upon them. So the brother of, who was the Abezdin of the Bezdin of America, he was the grandson of the Machzeh Avram, who was really the Rav Abrod, really the brother of. But it's just like you don't have to necessarily belong to a particular town to be the Rav of that town. You could be the grandson of somebody who was, you know, like the Brisker Rav. So he was the brother Rav. So the brother Rav, he was the grandson of the Machzeh Avram, and he Rav Moshe Levi Steinberg, and he was he wrote some tshuvos in the back of his grandfather's sefer, the Machzeh Avram. If you go online and you look at a Machzeh Avram, and you want to look at the tshuvos that the grandson wrote, you're not going to find it. Somehow when they copied it over for Hebrew books, they didn't include the tshuvos in the back. But if you get the real volume, I have copies of the real volume. So the real McCoy volume of the Machzeh Avram in the back, you'll find these actual tshuvos. So he wrote a tshuva, which he discussed, what do you do nowadays? Because it used to be that there were more places, more locations in North America, for example, where you really didn't have people who knew how to write Gittin, and you really had this type of problem. So he said that he introduced a third prong to make it even stronger. What was the third prong? The third prong is based on the Gemishnah and Gittin on Daf Samach Bava Manafa, Misha Haya Mushlach Labilabur. Somebody was inside of a pit. He says, anybody who hears my voice, should write a get from my wife. So then the halach is, that anybody who hears his voice can write the get. That's considered to be a sufficient designation that anybody could write the get for his wife. So later Achronim said, if a person is in a bore and you hear like a disembodied voice, you didn't even see the person, you could still write the get for his wife. So a telephone should be no worse than a disembodied voice. We say like for Tekiah Shofar, you have to hear the actual voice and not a call havara. So you can't rely upon the Tekiah Shofar that was inside of a pit. For a get, apparently, you can rely upon a call havara that was inside of a pit. So the Bar Rav said, so if you throw that in as well, in addition to the appointment that is made not in the presence of the sofer and the Eidim, because the person's thousands of miles away. And in addition to the fact that the person makes a written appointment that eventually comes in front of their eyes, you also have the person appoint the sofer and the Eidim over the telephone, that they're going to hear the appointment over the telephone. So then, you know, if you add achut mishalash lofa meirayin asek, you have all three prongs, so then that would be okay. So that's what has become the practice in those situations where a husband is very, very far away, and he can't appoint the sofer or the Eidim directly. So then we have this mechanism to rely upon all three prongs in order to make it as strong as possible. That it could be the Chazon Ish made a big deal that he didn't think that it worked to have a Minoy Shelo B'fanav, and even if and he felt that you need to have. If you have a writing, which is in the presence of the sofer, the Eidim, he wrote, like you're in the same room. So then you understand why that works. But otherwise, you need a tzirup of some sort. So the telephone could potentially provide a tzirup. One of the Dayanim in New Jersey, Rabbi Chaim Jachter, made a proposal a number of years ago that to make it even stronger, one prong even stronger than all of this, have the appointment made al yidei video teleconference. So he discussed that and this became a shaila during the coronavirus, whether to have husbands appoint, you know, sofer and eidim to write a get, you know, al yidei Zoom. You would still have to have the shliach who he appointed deliver the get physically to the wife. You can't have a delivery of the get al yidei Zoom, but maybe you can have an appointment of the get al yidei Zoom. So Zalman Nechemi liked his proposal of doing it a video teleconference, but it never really caught on. People were afraid that maybe you could do it ziyuf, that you never really can trust what you see on video camera. But I think also because Batei Din are not used to such elaborate technology, at least in the olden days, going back 20 years ago, to set up or the video teleconference equipment. And also if the husband was so far away, He wasn't near Sofer Adem. He probably wasn't near anybody who knew how to handle video teleconference equipment that well. So, you know, if all that it would take to set up all of that equipment, you may as well pay for a plane ticket and just, you know, have him travel to the Besdin. So it didn't really catch on. But that became Shaila as well. We didn't do that, but you could have presumably done all of these, put these other pieces in place and had Zoom appointments for Gittin to be written during the coronavirus. But fortunately, it wasn't that long a period that we weren't able to be in the same room as the husbands. After about, we just postponed Gittin for a period of time. We postponed Gittin for about 3 months until people were able to come in again, and we did Gittin. Okay, very briefly, I wanted to discuss Reach HaGet. So we know that a get has to be given when a couple is married. Let's say they weren't really married. So a couple's not married, then obviously they don't need a get. That seems pretty straightforward. But there's a concept in the Torah of Reach HaGet. So what if a woman received a get that she didn't really need to receive because she wasn't really married to the man? So that's a question. Why would I care? What would the difference be? So it's a halacha, there's a mitzvah in the Torah. The Kohanim are not allowed to marry certain women. Mrs. Losase, Yishurisha Gusha Meshalo Yikachu, can't marry a Gusha. So what if a woman received a get that she didn't need to have? Does that make her a Gusha that she's now not allowed to marry a Kohen? So that's a question. So the Gemara says that everybody darshins, the Chachamim, darshin from a pasuk. They have a machlokis with Rabbi Eliezer. If a get was written and it said, Harei mutev skladam el leploni, that the get said that you're permitted to marry anybody you want, but not so-and-so. I really don't want you to marry so-and-so. So the Rabbi Eliezer says, that's good enough because it permitted her to most people. And the Chachamim say, no, that's not good enough. It has to say, Harei mutev skladam, you can marry anybody. It has to be a get krisus, save a krisus. It has to make it permissible to marry anybody else. So the Chachamim say so they ask, but isn't there a pasuk that says, Visha gusha meisha lo yikachu, apilo niskar shelam isha nifsala minakuna. Amahavigitta, Rabbi Eliezer brings a proof from a pasuk that says that if a woman is divorced only from her husband, so then a Kohen can't marry her. Visha gusha meisha, even if the husband divorced her and said you can't marry anybody else, so she becomes psula minakuna. So we see that counts as a get. So the Chachamim say that's not a real get. Even Rabbi Eliezer would presumably hold that's not like a full fledged get, but she can't marry anybody else. But the Chachamim say all that teaches me is not that you can have a valid get that prevents her from marrying somebody else. It just teaches me that if a get is given that says you're divorced from me, but you're not permitted to anybody else, she would be prohibited from marrying a Kohen. This is such a thing as a get, which is not good enough to permit her to marry somebody else, but it would nonetheless be enough of a get to prohibit her from marrying a Kohen. So the question is, do we expand this drasha to other types of cases? Let's say, so the Gemara in Yavamas talks about a case. They said to a woman that your husband died. So now she does kiddushin with another man. And it turns out the first husband is alive. So all of us learn the halacha. Turns out the first husband is alive and she remarried another man. So she has to get a get from both of them. She's not allowed to stay with either one of them, right? But that's only if she didn't isuin. She actually lived with the second man. She didn't live with the second man. She only had kiddushin. He gave her a ring in front of two witnesses. So then she is, she's still permitted to go back to the first husband. Muteras laksolo says the Gemara. It says the Mishnah. Ava bishenasan la achron get lo pasul minakuni. Even though the second one gave her a get, since she didn't need a get, this is a little bit different from the husband whom she's married to giving her a get that's defective. So we say that can sometimes pasul it to a coin. But here, this person who wasn't her husband gave her a get. So the Mishnah says lo pasul minakuna. That doesn't pasul her from marrying a kohen. Ezudar Shavu Elazar ben Masya Visha Gusha Misha Lo Misha Enu Isha. So Shavu Elazar ben Masya darshin that the pasuk says Visha Gusha Misha. When is she a grusha? She's only a grusha when she receives a get from her husband, not when she receives a get from a man who's not her husband. So therefore, that wouldn't pasul her from the kahuna. So it's a very interesting. The question is, do we paskin like this drasha of Rabbi Elazar ben Masya Rabbi Elazar should have taken that pasuk Bishug Busha Meisha and taught us something that would have been a tremendous pearl, that would have been a beautiful, beautiful drasha. V'darash Bechaspa, and instead he gave us a piece of a worthless shard. My Maganisa, what was the great pearl? The Tanya Visha Gusha Misha Filu Niskasha Visha Pas Laguna. The beautiful pearl you could have darshan was that you derived from that pasuk that Visha Gusha Misha, even if she was only divorced, the husband gave her a get that only permitted, banished her from him, that only created a get between himself and herself, but didn't permit her to anybody else. That's a reach get, the pasul sel lakuna, and that's what I do. That's what I should have darshan. That's what Rabbi Elazar ben Maaseya should have darshan. But not this drasha of that afilu that velomi ishenu isha bishagusha meisha, meaning that it's only a get if it comes from your husband, not from somebody, if it's from somebody else. So what does that mean? So does that mean that we reject this drasha Rabbi Elazar ben Maaseya, or does it mean that Rabbi Elazar ben Maaseya could have come up with a better drasha, but we don't reject this drasha either? So the Rambam is perishim mishnayim says no. What he darshan was true, but he should have come up with a better drasha. However. The Beis Meir, in his commentary to Eben Ezra, Siman Yud Zayin Sif Nun Ches, says that it's possible that the reason why Rabbi Elazar ben Maaseya was criticized was because, in fact, his drasha wasn't correct. That since we hold that even a reach get passes a woman from marrying a kohen, so sometimes if you have a man and people think that this man was really married to the woman and he gives her a get, even though he wasn't really married to her, but since in the eyes of the world it was really, really looked like a get, so maybe that's also included in the halakha reach get. That the other drasha contradicts this drasha. The drasha that says that such a thing as reach get contradicts his drasha, saying melo meisha eno isha. That you can even have a situation where a get is given from isha eno isha that would pasul halakuna. So this is like a whole big discussion in the Rishonim. It's a whole big discussion in the Shulchan Aruch. That the only case of reach get that the Shulchan Aruch brings is this case where a man who's married to a woman gives her a get and says this is a get that is megarish you from me. You are now divorced from me. You're not permitted to anybody else. So that's not considered to be a get that enables her to remarry, but it's a good enough get to prohibit her from ever being able to marry a kohen. But that's the only case that the Shulchan Aruch comes up with. The Ramah, over and over again, says, afilo niskasha rak mishum kol kiddushin biyama, even if she only got a get from somebody who was not really married to her, but people thought that he was married to her because there was a word that came out that he was married to her, afa bishu barash eim amash beosan kiddushin, beinostim get rak mikol chumah biyama, and the get's only given based on a chumah, afilo hachi psula kuhuna. Nonetheless, she would be psula kuhuna. That's what the Ramah says in Simon Vav Sif Aleph of Ebena Ezer. So the question is that the Ramah is based on, we'll do five more minutes, the Ramah is based on a Rashba. There's a Shuas HaRashba that basically says this, and there's a Shuas HaRash that says this as well, that even if a get was given only because there was word that went out that the woman was married to a certain man, so as a result, he gave her a get, but if she wasn't really married to him, that would be enough to prosel her, to prohibit her from marrying a Kohen. Maybe it's not based on, you know, the original drasha. Shagas Aryeh has a long discussion about this. Maybe, you know, that wouldn't be on a deraisa level. Maybe that'd only be on a derabanan level, but that would be enough to pasul her lakuna. But then there's another chua of the Rashba, where the Rashba spoke about some kakamani situation where somebody claimed that his son was married to a certain woman and she was already engaged. She was betrothed already to somebody else. And they said, all right, just, you know, get this man off your back. So accept the get, you know, from this fellow's son. She accepted the get. And the question was, is she now prohibited from marrying a kohen? The other fellow was a kohen. She now prohibited from marrying him. And he said, no, she's not prohibited from marrying him. The whole story was obviously a bubba mice and she doesn't have to. So the question is, so the Rashba has contradictory tshuvos. If you look in the materials, you'll see I have a lot of different versions of the Tshuva Sarashba. He has the contradictory Tshuvas. How do you reconcile the Tshuvas? The Beis Shmuel reconciles the Tshuvas, the Dalki Moshe. The Dalki Moshe, written by the Rama, reconciles the Tshuvas by saying, well, it depends. If the Bezdin was Mechayev the Get, so that means it looked like it was a real marriage, and then she becomes Psula Lakuna, even if she wasn't really married to the first guy. But if they required it, that's enough to be a Reach Get. But if a Bezdin didn't require it, the person on their own just decided to do a get, so then that wouldn't pasul her lakuna. However, the Beis Shmuel points out, if you look at the actual tshuvos, the actual tshuvas don't seem to break down so neatly in terms of those two categories. So he says you have to look at the objective circumstances of the case. If the objective circumstances of the case are such that there really seems to be a possible argument that she was married to the guy who gave her the get, so then there would possibly kuna. If there's no argument whatsoever, there are no witnesses, and the whole thing seems to be pie in the sky, so only then do we say it doesn't possible have lacuna. And then there's a third approach that says, when was it that we say it doesn't possible lacuna? When the whole rumor was promulgated that said that she was married to some other guy was after she already was betrothed to a second guy. So if she was already betrothed to a second guy, we have a general principle that a korah called the basar erisin lo chashinin le, that we don't worry about some sort of a rumor that a woman was married to another man if she's after she was already betrothed to a second man. So such a rumor we consider just to be malicious in nature. And even if the woman would receive a get, so we wouldn't pay attention to that get. And then there are some people who say that there's no real concern that if it's clear that the woman wasn't really married and a get was given, that she never passed the lacuna. The Lechem Rav, which was written by the Lechem Mishnah, says, what was the concern based upon? Some say it's based upon a Gemara in Yevamos that says that you shouldn't have a situation where you have a woman do a chalitza when she has a co-wife who might be pregnant. And then if we discover that the co-wife, had a child, so it's okay because we'll just, at that point in time, it'll turn out that the chalitza wasn't necessary. Now she'll be able to marry a kohen. So the Gemara says, we don't do that because we're worried that shema shama baha, velo shama baha. Maybe somebody will hear that she did the original chalitza, but they'll hear that announcement, but they won't hear the announcement that the chalitza wasn't necessary because the co-wife of the deceased had a child from the deceased, meaning that, and therefore there's no chalitza necessary, and they won't, and if she goes and marries a kohen, they'll think that a chalitza is allowed to marry a kohen. So Lechem Mishnah says that's because people will make a mistake when it comes to chalitza, because it's not a din d'oraisa. They might think it's okay for a chalitza to marry a kohen. Everyone knows a gusha can't marry a kohen. See, if a woman received again, then she marries a kohen. Nobody's going to think that it was permissible for a gusha to marry a kohen. So in terms of how it plays out nowadays, so there's this tshuva by Rav Leibish Landesman that says that nowadays you have to realize there were so many gittin that are given, the chumra b'yalma. It used to be when a get was given, it meant that there probably was a marriage of some sort. But we know nowadays that there are so many marriages that halakhically speaking may not be valid marriages. Non-Orthodox marriages where you don't have kosher witnesses and so forth. And you have so many people, and it's not 100% clear that the people are even Jewish. Just to be on the safe side, the best and doesn't get for them, for everybody. And, if they need to do an investigation as to whether there was really a marriage afterwards, for whatever reason, you'll do it afterwards. So said it doesn't mean anything anymore. The fact that a best and did a get doesn't mean that they've made a determination that a get was really necessary. And therefore, based on the chiluk of the Dalchi Moshe, to say that, it depends whether Bezdin didn't paskin. So he said that you don't really have to worry nowadays if it turns out it was a before marriage, the one kosher witnesses, and the Bezdin did a get anyway. So if she wants to get married to a Kohen later on, you'll do the investigation later on and it will be okay for her to marry a Kohen. And in fact, there's a tshuva by Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Rav Aaron Soloveitchik wrote a letter in Shnas Tafshin Nunches. Bisha, but Inyan Isha Achas, but Atlanta. It was a woman in Atlanta. The once was a woman from Atlanta. She niskat, she could do the rest of the limerick. She niskat, she could do Shanae Yadei Rabbi before me. She got married to a reform rabbi. There were no kosher edim. She had a get. They didn't do an investigation as to whether she really needed a get back. She also discussed him Cohen. Now she wants to marry a Cohen. She buy that Cohen show mitzvahs and don't go into the question as to whether he's really a Cohen. This guy is really a Cohen. Since there were no Adam Shayer in the Chasana, we showed him. And Ladin Gusha, you call your son Nasi the Cohen. She does not consider Gusha and she can marry a Cohen. There are some Batidin that are more machmir. They say, look, bottom line, it's a machlokis between the machaber and the mamah, so the svardim can be make on the Ashkenazim should be machmir. There's a psak din like that. The best and I zori from Netanya and Tafshin Ayin Aleph. Lemaisa Rav Avadya Yosef was always makel. Obviously, he was a svardim, but he was always make on these in yanim, and he was makel even for Ashkenazim when it came to these types of inyanim. Every single case, has to be examined, on its own merits. If you have a case where it really appeared at the time, like everything seemed to be 100% kedas gedin, when the Bezdin did the get, they did it because they really felt it was necessary medina, and it's only afterwards that something comes up, indicating that maybe it wasn't necessary. I'm not 100% sure that under those circumstances you could be as mako, but, Bezdin has to examine every single case, on a case-by-case basis, on its merits. So we'll stop here. Yes, Hashem, next week we'll talk about the halakhic background of different prenuptial agreements and how that plays out. Lemaisa. Okay.
So the Baal never writes down, I appoint the CRC to procure the scribe.
No, that wouldn't be good. That would be Omer Imru. That would not be good. Yeah. The Baal can say, I appoint anybody who sees this document to be a sofer. Anybody who sees this document could be a sofer. Anybody who sees this document could be an aid. The same way that the Baal in the pit could say, anybody who hears my voice can be a sofer. Anybody who hears my, because that's a specific designation, but not, I'm appointing the CRC to appoint, you know, someone else. No, that wouldn't be good. That would be right. That would not be the right formulation. Okay, we'll stop here. I guess I'll turn this off. I will try to turn this off. Okay.
I was going to ask about Zoom. You covered it.
Oh, I covered it. Okay, good. I'm sorry.